Well, thank you, Nicola, for joining us today. This is actually our first front-end development podcast that we're doing. You're not in front-end development only. You actually have a lot of broad IT experience that you will tell us more about. But I'm very happy that actually I can see that you're really a successful person whose origins are from Macedonia, but you actually live in Australia. You will tell us something more about that. And I'm eager to know what has brought you basically first into the IT world, to give us some background about yourself. And then we already mentioned that we will collaborate with some of our students that have graduated our IT academies. So, and then basically you're also expanding and you're starting your own company, Automate. So I would like to hear more about that. But first, let's just start. Let's just, introduce yourself. Like, who is Nikola Kuleski and what is he doing basically in his life?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you, Ariana, for inviting me to such an awesome podcast. So thank you for that. And I'm happy to gladly to give my ideas and thoughts about a little bit about myself and what we do here. Yeah, so pretty much, as you know, my name is Nikola Kuleski. I'm from Sydney, Australia. A bit about myself. So I've been in the IT industry for about 7 to 8 years now. Actually have come across as a software developer. So my origins was a software developer, and then through my career I've gone through as a software architecture in automation. As you know, automation is quite big in the IT world at the moment and only continuously growing. So I specialize in automation, and that's what Automate does. So what we do here in Automate, originated from here in Sydney, Australia, is we provide business solutions for any automation processing that any business wants. So for example, we don't specialize in automation areas. So for example, we don't just specialize in accounts payable, we specialize in automation as a whole. So what Automate does is it provides a business solution to businesses. So for example, we can provide automation for accounts payable. Simple example is for invoice approvals and payments. As invoices or comes into the system, we can extract these invoices based on the business's needs and wants, and then we can route these through the business's workflow automation process. So this workflow automation process pretty much streamlines and simplifies the business's current business processes. If they don't have any at all, that's when us as a business, being subject matter experts in automation, would sit down with the business and the client and figure out what is the best way or best process to move forward with what they want. On top of that, we can then also integrate into other payment systems. We can do automatic payments. We can do security checks on payment systems. And furthermore, on top of that, we can provide reporting and dashboard capabilities based on this process. So that's just one process we commonly do. On top of that, we also Automate is an online form submission system. So a lot of companies and clients, so if they do have any automation around online form submissions, so the biggest one would be construction companies around timesheet processes or site reporting, we also do that as well.
Okay, thank you. But if we go a little bit back in your background, like when you obviously you're already very well established into the IT industry, but if you go back, like can you tell us like about your beginnings? Like how did you start it? What motivated you to go into
Yep.
the IT industry? Like how was your beginnings? If you can just go back, how was your first internship? Like what was the things that you were struggling with? Just like a snapshot of that.
Yeah, of course. So as every other person, I went to university here in Sydney, Australia. I went to a university called Macquarie University here, as a course as a software developer. Did that for 3 years, and then after that I went into the real world, you like to say it, into the corporate life, and then started looking around. The biggest challenges I had, probably starting off, and probably for all the students out there is trusting in your own abilities as well. Don't doubt yourself, because at the end of the day, innovation from someone fresh is very important for any business. Not only just for, you know, for the experience, the innovation does come from fresh ideas and fresh people that are willing to come into the business and provide their skill set as well. So all in all, my biggest challenge was that as well. Another biggest challenge is probably getting into your first corporate job. That's probably the biggest challenge, as you don't have any CV to really back yourself. But that's where, you know, as I understand those pay points, this is why this collaboration is so great, because I understand the difficulties of a lot of students and people coming in struggling to find their first jobs or the first couple of jobs in coming into the industry. So that's pretty much how I've come through the system, and you know how that's worked for me.
There is one study from U.S. Consulting firm John Kerry that says that the U.S. market is currently lacking 85 million of tech workers. What would you say about Australia? Australia is also a very big market. And how would you define the tech and the IT scene there in terms of demand for IT skilled workforce?
Yeah, so the demand here in Australia is quite huge. Why that's the case is because companies now, you know, investing or doing a lot of research and development in internal technology stacks within each of the businesses. So we're pretty much in the same boat. So there's a huge potential in terms of IT talent that needs to be recruited. And that talent I see for the foreseeable future are going to continuously grow. As technology continues to grow and become more important within each of the business's systems and core systems, IT skills and IT knowledge would only become more and more valuable. So I don't think it's the best time to get into the IT industry at the moment right now.
Yeah, thank you about elaborating on that. What do you look like being an IT person? Like, what skills, if we can, let's say, illustrate a job description for someone that you would like to hire about your company, how would that job description look like? We're talking about, obviously, some junior positions.
Yeah, so the biggest facet that I look for is problem solving. That is very, very important. Why I say that's important is because in development or even in IT consultancy, if you want to go down that route, or even solutions architecture or software architecture, there's always the same is always problem solving. So problem solving skills, the ability for you to adapt and work in agile when things don't work how it is expected, or how to solve things at a workaround process is so important. Especially how technology is adapting. So problem solving skills is very, very important. Two is your willingness to learn, or your attitude to learn. As technology always grows and continuously changes, even myself included, I always have to keep myself up to date. Us as a business or as a company, we always try to facilitate that, but also you've got to do your own skill set, your own research. So problem solving and willing to learn and keeping up to date, so in that sense, being adaptive is very important.
Yes, I understand. It's interesting because you did mention framework, no React, no Angular. Problem solving.
Yes, that's right. It's because the developer, so anyone that wants to go in the IT world, you've got to find your own tech stack that you like. The biggest one at the moment and the most common one, obviously, is JavaScript and .NET. They're the most common ones, especially as everything's becoming cloud-based, everything's being web-based. Everyone wants to do everything on a computer, anytime, anywhere. So cloud technologies and web portal technologies are very big at the moment. But all in all, as a general point of view, you find your passion, find what interests you in the IT world. And if you take those two sort of facets out of there, you know, you'll be successful in any role.
Of course. Great. We already spoke together, so can we like maybe elaborate a little bit about for our listeners about the collaboration that actually you're planning to do with Creative Hub? You already mentioned your software Automate, and basically what would be like I mean, it's probably a funny question to coming from me, but why would you basically partner with you're in Sydney, right? Why would you partner with an educational training hub in North Macedonia? Obviously we are in US as well, but like I think that it would be curious for our listeners to understand why would someone from Sydney partner with an educational hub in North Macedonia.
Yeah, good question. Look, we're always on the hunt for talent, and we believe there's incredible talent in North Macedonia and even just in the Creative Hub system. The talent that comes through Creative Hub Academy and the talent that comes overseas is just unbelievable. And you know, as mentioned prior, understanding the challenges of new students coming through and wanting to find a corporate role, that's why I want to build the foundations of Automate and my company, being able to facilitate around new students, new ideas, and we're always also continuously growing as well. So our structures are quite big, we're growing quite rapidly, and the talent that, like I said, the talent that provides through Creative Hub and in the European regions and even in the US now is just very, very big at the moment. So we're happy to facilitate that as well. So we're quite excited for the next, what the future holds.
Well, we're also excited to have you as a partner. I said North Macedonia, I should correct myself, North Macedonia and Kosovo, as in Kosovo we already have Frontend Academy that is already finishing around 20 students, which I'm very proud of. And I think that they all have a bright future ahead. Now, in terms of the collaboration, what kind of basically would be the talent that you'll be seeking for? Are we talking about front end developers? Are we talking about back end developers? As we also had the Java Academy, I know you also reached out to one of our former students from the Android Academy because some necessities that you have. So can we just give more on the perspective of what kind of talent would actually be sourced in terms of this collaboration?
Yeah, great question. So we're looking for front end and back end development, as Automate is a very complex platform on the back end, but also visually at the front end, it needs to be very streamlined. So our framework operates mostly on HTML, JavaScript, and Java for the web pages. So we're intensely looking for any JavaScript developers and Java developers quite rapidly and quite intensely in that talent pool. And we also have iOS and Android apps, as you mentioned. So any Android developers are very sought after as well, because that's a small talent pool here in Australia as well, around the Android development. So they're the three areas that we're pretty much intensely looking for. Again, based on the developer, if they enjoy front end more, we've got heaps of front end work. If they enjoy back end more, then we've got heaps of front back end work as well. So it just totally depends on the developer himself and what they enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. First of all, thank you for giving the opportunity. Thank you for collaborating with us. It really means a lot to me and to our students, as I already mentioned, from Kosovo and North Macedonia, which are currently running into the programs. Now I would like to ask a little bit a question connected with Automate. Like, where do you see Automate in the future? Like, do you guys are planning to raise a pre-seed round or a seed round? Or like, well, what is the future for Automate in terms of your view as a founder?
Yeah, Automate. So at the moment, we're growing quite rapidly. We actually don't, with the projects and clients that we have, we actually don't foresee any need for capital coming in, which is great, because that means we don't have to sort of push the Automate product to someone else or investors. But the good thing is, you know, that means that we're healthy and we're able to work off our own accord, which means that the company is very secure moving forwards, and you know, we're growing rapidly as well. So in terms of Automate, where we go, we're actually pushing into the RPA space, so robotic process automation space as well. So that's an additional facet and interesting area where developers can also look into. And you know, as the company grows, we're also willing to invest in our time into the developers, and you know, the developer grows with the company as well. So we're not looking for a short-term aspect. We're also looking at a long-term aspect in terms of the company's future, because we do see that there would be a big development team and research development team, which obviously would need key resources. So we're looking for long-term employees as well.
Of course. Nicola, I'm very curious because you know, I'm here and I can see, and you know, I have a some history also in the tech world, and I know that the interviews for the IT, when IT staff is recruited, are often project based. So how do you like imagine your interviews? Obviously, it's not about somebody coming and saying, okay, this is my CV, like review it, but it's more like based on, okay, here's the code, solve the problem. So how do you like, what is your plan for the interviews when you would be basically sourcing the talent? Will it be project-based? How will this go? How would you basically handpick the people that will join your team?
Of course. So the first interview would be just to get to know each other. So get to know the person, what they're about, how they interact, and just to get to know each other first, and get that you know, that mutual connection there. The second interview, like you said, yes, would be more task-based, but that would be based on what the developer likes. So of course, based on the first initial meetings, we're not gonna throw a task or project that a developer does not want to do. That because that's what we pride ourselves on. We, at the end of the day, we want employees and students to feel, you know, welcomed, and that we want them to enjoy the workplace and the tasks and the work that they do, because that provides the best quality of work, and also for the students and the new employees coming in, that gets them motivated to do, you know, to like what they want to do. So those tasks would be sort of tailored to what they would like. So front end or back end, or might be a particular aspect. So yeah, that would be a task. That would be, you know, it won't be too much of a heavy task, but it will be a task of some sort. And then dependent on how that task goes, we would have a third interview to review that, sort of give a little bit of a presentation on the tasks, why things have been scripted or coded in those specific ways. I just want to understand the mindset of the developer and how they problem solve and how they structure their development. And then once, if successful, then obviously the next process was to start working at Automate.
Of course. What is your milestone for the future? Like usually, you know, companies are writing their milestones in terms of numbers, in terms of like, how much are you looking to grow the company? Like, are you looking to hire 10, 20, 50, 100 people? Like, are you looking to open an office in the Balkans, possibly Kosovo or North Macedonia? Like, what is your milestone for your company, if we can like fast track the future at this moment?
Yeah, so I'm actually actively currently looking at an office in Macedonia, North Macedonia. So I'm currently looking at an office, looking to hire about 5 to 10 people for the time being. That's just at the current stage. By the end of this year, we're looking to be about 25 to 30 people just in the development team. So you can see how quick and big we need to be with the amount of projects and jobs that are coming in rapidly. So yeah, like I said, we're going to 30 people. When I mean 30 people, it's just overseas in the North Macedonia. So included here in Australia would be probably another 10 or 20. But yeah, so we're going to grow to a team of 50, hopefully by the end of this year. Picked up just a big client very, very soon. So that growth will be sort of pushed forward a lot quicker.
Congratulations. It's really, really impressive. And it's really nice. like for me to hear such an inspiring story and someone that also wants to be an advocate and to also give back to a country whose his origins has from. So it's really it's really also an honor for us to collaborate with you. Okay, at the end, I would like to ask for some, like, what would be your final thoughts or some final advice to someone that is looking to start a career in the ICT sector? Do you think that it's possible for anyone, like, to pre-qualify or, like, somebody has graduated, for example, and obtains a legal degree to change to ICT? Like, do you think that this industry is open for anybody that really has a passion and it's, is seeing that in future they can be a developer? Because as you mentioned, it's about problem solving. It's not that much about the, obviously you need the technical skills, but you can get the technical skills if you're working hard. But like, what is your view on that? Like about pre-qualification and, as I said, like some advice that you can give to the people that are listening to this and they want to say, I want to be like this person when I grow up.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's a great question. Like I said, as long as your attitude's there for anyone, those development skills, those technical skills that can always be learnt. Creative Hub has a great system, great educational academy set up to facilitate the new people and the students to learn and enhance their knowledge in the IT area, which is really great. So those two key facets around problem solving and continuously wanting to learn is very important. In terms of the cross-industry referencing and coming across from different industries, that can be very, very valuable, especially in the IT industry. So what I mean by that is, for example, if someone's coming from legal and they're coming into IT, software IP is super, super important. So if you've got an edge around, legal and, you've got that additional edge of IT skills as well, we always welcome it because then that means you've got the broader knowledge of how, IT works and the legal side of things, so that might enhance your career as well, that side of thing. So if you've got business acumen along with software coding skills, that's also big at the moment because you can then relate how the code or how the product within the business can affect the business strategy and affect the business process. So that's also very, very important. And actually helps you maybe to sometimes build a better code moving forwards because you can understand at a user's point of view or at a business strategy point of view where this product needs to go in the near future. And you can structure your code based off the scalability or the agility of the code, depending how not only automate, but for any other business can sort of maneuver through the market and scale through the industry as well. So those cross pre-qualifications and cross-referencing within the industries can be very useful as well. In terms of advice, if anyone says they're an expert in IT, they're probably lying. So I'm no expert as well. You can be in the industry for 45 years if you have to, but no one's perfect. Always be confident in yourself, believe in yourself, find an area that's really that you have passion for, regardless in what scripting area you have, and really strive to be the best at that, at your passion, because then at the end of the day, if you really love or enjoy what you do, or you really enjoy a specific area within IT, and I'm sure Creative Hub and Ariana and her team are more than happy to help with an awesome academy that they have set up overseas. When I say overseas, it's because I'm from Australia. So like I said, facilitating Ariana and going through exactly how Creative Hub can help the new students and really find a passion of what you want to be in and just be the best in it, and you'll always succeed. We always make mistakes, but if you really have that end goal to always be better, you'll be fine.
Thank you. Well, at the end, I want to thank you for your knowledge today and your expertise, because many people, when they're starting a career, they want to, you know, they want to listen to more people that have already succeeded over there. And as we said, you're a success story, everything that you're doing with Automate. I wish you the best of luck, and I really hope that your company will grow and reach all the milestones that you have set for it, as I think it's very important, because in a way it will also support the Balkan ecosystem and the development of IT jobs and the industry. So one more time, I thank you for collaborating and for viewing us as a training hub that I actually source you with the tech stuff that you need. And yes, we're looking to have more success stories from you in the future, maybe success stories from our students. And thank you one more time.
No, thank you, Ariana, for having me on. What you're doing, helping new students in setting up Creative Hub, is only leading to awesome things. So hopefully I'll see some of you at Automate soon, but thanks again for having me, and yeah, thank you.